Oh my God, can you believe it? It's the year 2024. It's Melbourne Comedy Festival, and we've just moved venues. We're at the Grace Darling now. We had a great run at the Chinese Museum, selling out shows by the end, but now we need you to come over to the Grace Darling, and shows are at 7:15. It's going to be so much fun. I'd love to see you there. Let's have a beer. Use discount code DOGOON. The show's called Dry at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Then we're going to Sydney and Brisbane. Tickets to all that stuff's on sale now. And you can find those tickets and details at mattstewartcomedy.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Who Knew with Matt Stewart, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I'm the titular Matt Stewart, and this week I'm being joined by scorekeeper and second banana. It's Holly Leonard from the Pointless Reinvention podcast. Welcome, Holly.
Hi.
How's it going, Holly? You ready to second banana?
I am ready to second banana. I'm ready to pod.
Yeah, you're ready to pod.
Ready to pod.
I've been on your podcast before. It's a fantastic show. What's it about again?
It's Pointless Reinvention, where we fix what ain't broken and we basically improv random topics. We've done cars. Matt was on the social media episode. Do you remember it?
I do.
Do you remember it well?
I did it from Australia. It was, you know, 11.
And you were in lockdown and we weren't.
Okay. Jeez, that's a rough start from you, Holly. I can see you never know what kind of relationship you'll have with your sidekick, and tonight it's going to be a bit combative. I can feel that. Our first contestant this week, Holly, is host of the Lawman podcast. It's James Shakeshaft.
Hello. Hi there.
How's it going, James? Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
What a pleasure to have you here.
Oh, thanks very much, actually.
Is Bristol Fire to come for you?
It's, yeah. Most places are far. I'd live in the countryside.
I mean, that is not true. You live in England. Everything is nearby. Yeah. You could walk from one end to the other in half an hour.
And I complain about it. Yes.
Our second contestant is host of the Boar Men podcast. It's Dave Warnocky.
Yeah. All right. Hello.
Do you spell Boorman B-O-R-A or, wait, no, you wouldn't do it that way. B-O-R-E or B-O-A-R?
I spell it B-O-R-A, actually. Yeah, okay. You were correct the first time. Boorman podcast.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right. Yeah, because I got a cease and desist letter from you and your co-host, so I thought, fine, I'll be the Boorman.
First time listeners might be wondering what this show is all about and how does it work. Anyone not heard the show before in tonight? There was a bit of a pause there. I'm like, yeah, that's right. Everyone in the world has heard this. And
that's
then
right.
Slowly, every single person sheepishly admitted to have never having heard it before.
So you haven't heard the show. This podcast has been featured in Who Magazine.
Yeah, that's right.
Whoa. Do you know this?
Whoa.
In Australia, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Hey?
I was pretty stoked.
Yeah.
How did it end up in there? I have no idea.
Yeah, the World Health Organization magazine. Wow. Front page.
Yeah, avoid.
Yeah, avoid this. Bad for your health. Bad for your health.
Anyway, for new listeners, which it sounds like there maybe is one or two in tonight, it's a pretty simple concept, really. I ask a relatively obscure trivia question and our contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. I then read their answers as well as the real one and they have to guess which one is correct. Are we ready to play?
Yes, yes, I am.
I am also ready.
The first question comes from listener Heidi from Hastings. Is there a Hastings in England? And if there is, is Heidi here?
Yes, it's a very combative place, from what I've heard.
There's a battle of Hastings, is there?
Yes.
That's good stuff.
Very famous.
Yeah, great.
One.
Yeah, very, very famous, Matt. Anyway.
That's why I knew it.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
The first question coming from Heidi is, what is the definition of the word quincunx? What is the definition of the word quincunx? Can spell for you if you need, or are you happy with that? They seem happy. They're
I'd love a spelling. Let's be honest. Let's go quincunx.
Holly, do you want to spell it, please?
It is quincunx.
Fantastic. That's what I would have said as well. While they're writing their answers, I'll explain how the scoring works. Holly, you might need to know this as you are scoring it.
It would help.
Okay. So you get 1 point if your fake answer is guessed by the other contestant, and another point if you correctly guess the answer. By the way, I'm also playing as the house.
Boo! Oh my god. Boo. So you're mispronouncing the word boo there. Yes, boo. Are you saying boo wins?
So I've put in two of my own fake answers for each question with the help of the question writer. And I also get a point for each one of those that our guests choose. So each of us can score up to 2 points per round. It seems pretty fair, but the probability actually favours me. The house.
Boo. It's rigged. It's rigged.
Well, yes, that's right. The house always wins. Though if you've listened previously, you'll know that is not necessarily the case. Anyway... Our questions come from our great Patreon supporters. Any Patreon supporters in tonight? That was an efficient woo. Well done. If you want to submit a question, sign up on any level via patreon.com/dugongpod. Linked in the show notes. So, it looks like the answers are in for question number one. Holly's giggling.
One of them is very good.
Okay. Well, I look forward to finding out which one is.
That is so brutal, James. Oh, my God.
Yikes.
That is so brutal.
It's the house. It's the house.
So here is the question. What is the definition of the word quincunx? A cufflink made from a badger's face. That's option one. When objects are placed in the same pattern as the dots on the five side of a dice, a decorative silver cross used by a non-religious person to ward off bad spirits, medical condition where the subject has multiple nostrils, in this case, five.
Okay. It's quite specific.
Or a medieval insult roughly translated to guy who knows four-fifths of fuck all.
Okay.
So you got five good options there. Either of you feeling like you want to have a crack here?
James, is anything jumping out to you there?
The badger's face jumped out to me as a visual image. But
how big is a badger's face?
It's bigger than a cufflink.
Okay.
Right, so
you
look quite ridiculous.
It would be a shrunken head.
Okay. Yeah, or just the nostril or one of the eyes.
Yeah, part of a badger's face.
Mm. Probably the nostril, because they have a striped snout, of course, so that's how you'd know it was a badger. And then you're getting value for money on your cufflinks. Your quincunx, sorry. What was the second one again?
Second one was objects placed in the same pattern as the dots on the five side of a dice.
That is funny.
So you're ruling that out. You're ruling that one out. That's the joke answer.
That's too funny.
You mean that was the one that was tickling Holly? You told me you collect D&D dice.
I do collect.
So maybe
D&D dice
humour is your thing.
Dice humour is my thing. That was just for me.
Okay.
How do you collect that one myself?
Collecting dice. What is it? Do you just have lots of? I guess that's like anything.
Yeah.
I was like, how do you do that? Have lots of dice.
You just have more than one of them. It's how you collect a thing. And then you keep it. That's it. That's it. That's the kicker. You've got to keep it. Okay. You've got to keep it.
Do you feel like locking something in here, Dave?
Oh, gosh. And then there was the non-religious cross.
Non-religious cross, the
also
medical
very
condition
funny.
With the multi-nostrils, five. Or the medieval insult.
Forfeit. There's five going with the five there. So there's three going with five, is what I'm trying to say there. But I'm thinking that is a trick. I'm going to go with the non-religious cross, a quincunx.
That's good.
Okay, locking in the Silver cross for Dave.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking, James?
As funny as it is, I'm going to go for the dice-based one.
Well, don't throw away your point for humour.
Well, you know. I'm here for the lols.
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes the answers are quite humorous as well, James. So, all right. Well, let's go through who wrote these answers. So we had a medical condition where the subject has multiple nostrils, in this case five. That was James.
Oh.
A medieval insult, roughly translated to guy who knows four-fifths of fuck all. That was the house.
But well played, the house. That's very funny.
A cufflink made from a badger's face. That was Dave.
Yes. Imagine it. Imagine.
Can't enough.
In fact, I will be making it after the show.
Did you realise the badger's face was that big?
Yeah. Okay. It made me laugh to imagine a whole face.
So this means that one of you is correct.
We're in for a point here.
And it's not Dave, because a decorative silver cross was written by the house. It is when objects are placed in the same pattern as the dots on the five side of a dice.
Wow. Well done.
Smashed it.
Thanks.
So that means, Holly, we got 1 point for James and 1 point for the house.
Woo!
Jeez, I love how divided this room is.
Yeah.
James, did you know that, or did you just had a bit of a...
Just had a guess.
Had a guess.
I saw the Quinn and I went for the Quinn.
Yep.
Thought the Quinn, that's going to be five.
Yeah.
Cucks, no idea. Was it Cunks?
Cunks, it was Cunks.
Cunks.
It was Cunks. All right, I'll explain the etymology of that a little more in a second.
I'd love to hear more about the Cunks.
But in the meantime, here's question number two. This one comes from Adam Knight from Croydon in South London. You in tonight, Adam?
Oh.
Now, do you have a South London in England? The question...
Quite combative.
The question is, on April the 6th, 1984, in Waukesha, Wisconsin, professional wrestler Ken Patera was arrested. But what had he done? On April the 6th, 1984, in Wisconsin, professional wrestler Ken Patera was arrested. What had he done to be arrested? While you're writing your answers, Holly, let me tell you a little bit more about the word quincunx.
Okay.
According to Merriam-Webster, I mean, you can tell me this if you want. I normally say it, but I mean, you've got the info there too.
Sure. According to Merriam-Webster, in ancient Rome, a quincunx was a coin with a weight of equal to 5/12 of a libra, a unit of weight similar to our pound.
Yeah. Isn't that fascinating?
It's very fascinating.
I've thrown you under the bus here. I'm like, this is a dull fact. I'll let Holly tell this one.
The coin's name comes from the Latin roots, oh boy, quinque?
Yeah,
meaning five, and uncia, meaning 1/12. I also realised that you skipped a word in your question, Matt, if you're going to throw me under the bus.
Oh, what?
Wow.
Which the weight, yeah.
Where in Wisconsin was this wrestler?
Why Keisha?
Two can play a bad game.
Yeah. Let's change.
I've made a powerful enemy. Yeah. I'll do the rest of this because you might have to chuck in their answers.
Yeah.
So the ancients used a pattern of five dots arranged like the pips on a die as a symbol for the coin, and English speakers applied the word to arrangements similar to that distinctive five dot mark. So it was really the name for a coin, which just had that pattern, and then that word crossed over. I don't know how often that it would come up. Like, how many things are in that pattern apart from the five on a die?
I'm trying to think of anything else.
Hmm. I mean, you know...
There was a suggestion out there?
A badger's face.
A badger's face.
Yeah, have you seen him? Yeah, five.
How many eyes does a badger have?
Before or after Dave's been out.
Okay. All right, looks like all the answers are in. So here is question number two. On the 6th of April, 1984, in Waukesha, in Wisconsin, professional and professional wrestler Ken Patera was arrested. But what had he done? Here are your five options. He had a real-life beef with his opponent, broke kayfabe on a live telecast before pulling a gun on them in the ring. Bit of fun.
keeping it light.
Kidnapped a novelty promotional peacock and took it on a road trip.
A novelty promotional peacock.
You heard what I said.
Yeah.
He ate every chicken nugget at the local McDonald's and then went on a rampage through the kitchen searching for more. That's option three. Option four, after being refused service at a McDonald's, he threw a rock the size of a bowling ball through the window. Two McDonald's related ones there. Or finally, his wrestling tight split, revealing his chop for all to see. Instead of covering himself up, he started doing puppetry of the penis.
That is illegal in Wisconsin. What? So I'm old. What is a kayfabe?
Kayfabe? I don't think that's a being old thing. That's just a wrestling term. It's all fictional. I'm sorry if anyone's. It's also they publicly saying, you know, this is, we're just mucking around.
Right.
That's breaking kayfabe.
Does kayfabe
the opposite of breaking the fourth wall?
It's the opposite of that. It's building a fourth wall.
Yeah. Living the fourth wall.
And then pulling a gun on someone. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, now no one can see us behind this wall. Yeah, it's interesting. And what was the wrestler's name again? Remind us of his name.
The wrestler's name was Ken Patera.
Ken Patera.
Ken
Patera.
Because you're a wrestling fan, aren't you, Dave?
Yeah, especially from the 1980s. Yeah.
84, that was a big 84, year.
84, yeah, big year. Yeah, a lot of shootings in the ring that year. No clues.
Any thoughts, James? Anything sticking out, or do you need to hear anything else again?
I'm leaning towards the golden arches, but I don't know which of the two arches I'm going to go through at the moment. I think it is the rock the size of a bowling ball through the window.
Going to lock that in?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, locking that in for James. Dave, what are you thinking?
We've all been there.
For new listeners, Dave can pick the same or he can go for a different one. It's up to him.
Right. Were you trying to steer me towards something there or?
I'm in your head, man.
Yeah, you really are.
I'm in your head. Am I bluffing? Am I double bluffing? Am I triple bluffing?
Oh, okay.
Or am I not bluffing at all?
Am I crazy, audience, in thinking that he could have pulled a gun in the ring? Is that crazy?
I mean, it would have been crazy to pull a gun
in the
ring.
Yeah, so crazy. It just might work. Lock it in. Lock it in.
All right, locking in, pulling out a gun in the ring.
He maybe, and then, you know, that would have been great for ratings.
Yeah. Vince would have loved that.
Yeah, for sure.
If this was that company or whatever.
Company, sure, yeah. Sure.
Because there was WCW, there was WWE. Mm.
Which was F.
Yeah, it was F in the 80s. Mm. It makes you think. Yeah. All right, let's go through. Let's go through who wrote the answers. So, doing puppetry of the penis. That was the house.
Oh.
Eating every chicken nugget and then going on a rampage. That was Dave.
Yeah.
Kidnapping a novelty promotional peacock, taking it on a road trip, in inverted commas. That was James.
Novelty promotional peacock is a great phrase. I love that.
You sure? Yeah, it could have been NBC with a... The broadcaster, that's their mascot.
I mean, there's gorillas all around Bristol. It could just be like similar to that. Have you not seen the gorillas?
Statues?
Yeah.
Wow. I'll look out for them.
He's climbing the bridge.
Then we had... He had a real life beef with his opponent, pulling out a gun. That was the house.
No.
Point for the house there. No, that's two in a row that you've fallen into the trap.
I know, damn it.
Of the who's. That means that James was again correct. It was after being refused service at a McDonald's, he threw a rock the size of a bowling ball through a window.
Yeah, you're a dynamo.
Oh, yeah.
You're killing
thanks.
It.
No, thanks.
Well done.
No, you're welcome.
Great.
Geez, English are polite, aren't they? Yeah. He's thanks. Beating you. He's murdering you and just thanking you somehow. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm loving it. McDonald's. Unbelievable.
All right, question number three comes from Matt Rowe from Stanmore in New South Wales. We're near Old South Wales.
That's so true.
It is so true.
South Wales classic.
The question is, what was the stage name of Spanish adult entertainer and illusionist Vicky Leighton? What was the stage name of Spanish adult entertainer and illusionist Vicky Leighton? And while they're writing their answers, Holly, do you want to give us a score update here?
So at the moment, Dave is unfortunately on nothing.
Okay. any Dave fans in tonight?
Yeah.
Thanks. You're letting them down.
Thanks. All right, guys, I got this one. I'm coming up.
But James and the house are both tied on two.
Oh.
Mixed emotions.
The crowd is really on your side. Love an underdog. Underdog equals...
Dave.
All right. Bit of a quincunx. Here's a little bit more information on the Ken Patera incident. According to ringthedamnbell.com, is that a website you're familiar with, Dave?
Oh, I ring that bell every day.
On April 6, 1984, in Waukesha, Wisconsin, pro wrestlers Mesa Sato and Ken Patera went to a local McDonald's restaurant and tried to get something to eat. After being refused service because it was after hours, Patera allegedly threw a large rock at the glass of the restaurant, shattering it. Ken Patera claimed a teenage disgruntled employee was responsible for throwing the rock. Either way, the incident did not end there as both Patera and Sato got into a physical confrontation with the two police officers responding to the situation.
Do you blame that on the teenage kid as well?
That wasn't me. Because Patera and Sato were pro wrestlers and because pro wrestling was becoming a national phenomenon, the incident made national headlines. Vince McMahon saw an opportunity in this publicity and signed Patera to the WWF. And he came up with this whole story, like he had another wrestler be his manager, and that manager didn't visit the family while he was in jail. So they had a fight, and it was pretty big.
Yeah.
Apparently the manager said something like, it started off as a debate for some reason. They had the lecterns in the ring, but it came to blows, which is disappointing. Use your words, guys. Well, it looks like the answers are in. I could have gone on, but... The question is, what was the stage name of Spanish adult entertainer and illusionist Vicky Leighton? Here are your five options.
Okay.
The Conjuring Chameleon.
Ooh, that's good.
The Magnificent Soup of the Day.
Okay.
The Smuggler's Bum Bag. Sticky Vicky. Or Barbara Kadabra. Five strong options here.
Oh wow, that's tough.
Mm. Can we have them one more time?
Yeah, okay, we should recap.
So we've got The Conjuring Chameleon, The Magnificent Soup of the Day, The Smuggler's Bum Bag, Sticky Vicky, or Barbara Kadabra.
I really want it to be Barbara Kadabra.
It's so good.
Barbara Kadabra, though, is what I'd... But English is probably not her first language, so she would not have nailed that pun.
I mean, you're also banking that Matt's pronounced it correctly. Which is... that's a dangerous game.
Barbara Kadabra?
Yeah.
No chance.
What do you think, Dave? I think is this your turn to lock something in here?
Oh, what are you making me go first? I'm the underdog.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. James, do you want to have a...
Yeah,
have
I'm
a
the overwolf.
Yeah.
I think it's the first one.
The Conjuring Chameleon.
Yeah, The Conjuring Chameleon.
Okay, I'll lock that in for James.
Lock it.
Dave, what are you thinking?
I am tempted by the Smuggler's Bum Bag.
It's a very tempting dish.
Really, honestly, yeah.
Along with the soup of the day. Oh, that's a two-course meal,
yeah,
aren't we?
That's right.
I could sit down and enjoy all afternoon long. Oh, maybe a bit of Sticky Vicky for dessert?
Yeah. Don't mind if I do. Sticky Vicky.
Sticky Vicky.
Barbara Kadabra. Oh, this is tricky. Sticky Vicky. I'm going to go smuggler's bum bag. Sometimes you got to go with your heart. You got to go with your gut. You got to go with your brain.
Go with your instinct. I love that.
Smuggler's bum bag. All is there any chance of that?
No.
Let's go through who wrote the answers.
Shit.
The Magnificent Soup of the Day. That was written by Dave. Mm-hmm. Now, talk us through your thoughts there. What was your process?
Okay. I'm hungry.
Hungry for a little adult entertainment.
Oh, yeah. And illusions.
Okay.
Please.
Barbara Kadabra. That was the house.
Boo.
The Conjuring Chameleon, also the house.
I'm in with a shot here, people.
So 1 point of the house there. The Smuggler's Bum Bag. That was James.
Damn you.
The correct answer was Sticky Vicky. Anyone seen Sticky Vicky's work? Apparently she's very famous. And you're not far from Spain. Anyone seen Sticky Vicky in action?
That was someone was giving a...
That's someone over there.
Your hand is up. Your mate knows Sticky Vicky.
Apparently she fires ping pong balls out of the way.
Oh, that's her.
I was going to explain it in a slightly more tactful way.
I really hope the audience might pick that up. So Holly, and I'm sure your mate enjoyed it.
Holly, that is once again 1 point for the house, 1 point for James. No points.
I
for
got
Dave.
It.
Yep.
Fuck,
all right. Here's question number four.
Sorry, no points for who?
Dave had no
points. Oh, sorry, Dave.
The underdog remains
I'm under. I'm so under.
Such a dog.
Thank you.
Dave is a dog person. He takes
Absolutely.
That as a compliment.
Exactly.
Incorrectly.
People call me a fucking dog all the time. And I say, you goddamn right I am.
Here is question number four. Reaching the halfway mark here. It's a 7-question game. So.
Okay. I've really got to pick up the pace here.
Yes, you need to come home with a wet sail for sure. This one comes from Jim Bates from Sackett's Harbour in New York. Which country novelty song was recorded by both Archie Campbell and Johnny Cash? Which country novelty song was recorded by both Archie Campbell and Johnny Cash? Holly, do you want to give us an update on the scores? I think people are probably able to do 1x3, but we'll see how...
So we've got Dave still on zero points.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
But on 3 points, we've got James in the house tied.
Okay, a few people are coming around to James in the house.
Wow.
The power couple.
That could be my spin-off sitcom. James in the house.
Yeah.
And it's just me in a house. It's really boring.
That's a good pitch. All right, while you're writing your... It looks like you already have, but I really want to tell people about Sticky Vicky. Even though there was a little spoiler earlier.
There's a stat in there that's shocking.
Yes, there is a shocking stat. Do you want to read this out, Holly?
Oh, I've got admin to do, Matt.
Okay. I'll start. When you've done your admin, you can take over.
Okay.
Vicky Layton, now 78, would perform her 30-minute adult magic show 6 times every single night in Spain's party capital, Benidorm. According to Spanish newspaper El País, the unusual dance act was seen by more than 6 million tourists.
How many times did you say it?
Your mate.
Your friend.
Before she retired at the age of 72. Hey, hang on. What kind of crowd do we have here in Bristol? Hey, I thought we'd be not
six
so ageist. Disgusting. You,
six.
Not her. According to Spain Made Simple, a beautiful website, they wrote, "We must point out that the Sticky Vicky Benidorm Act is strictly for an open-minded people only." Sounds like not the people of Bristol.
Without ruining the surprise element of the show, Sticky Vicky is a lady who performs a series of adult magic acts with razor blades, ping pong balls.
Hey. We've all got a favourite.
Beer bottles and fire, amongst other props. I read somewhere else machetes are involved as well.
Whoa.
Did you do a lot of research?
But it does finish by saying, where these items appear from will shock and horrify you. I'll say no more.
Stop. That guy's mate.
I'll
that
say
guy's
no
mate.
More.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what did you say? What did you call it?
What's that?
Where did it come from?
Wanny.
Wanny?
Wanny.
I've never heard Wanny.
I've never heard of Wanny either.
It's polite than saying
badge. But I've heard Fanny.
Wanny
is good. So, no.
Fun fact, Wanny's Japanese for dog.
Oh. Which sounds also sounds a bit like Wanicky.
Yeah, people call me Wanny all the time and I thank them. Arigato, thank you. Thank you. silly.
Okay. So it looks like the answers are in.
Great.
So the question is, which country novelty song was recorded by both Archie Campbell and Johnny Cash? Here are your five options. You shot me dead, open bracket, but I'm still loving you from heaven, close bracket.
That's nice.
The second option, I've got no hands.
Is that the full title?
No, no, open bracket. How do you think I feel? Or how do you think I feel? I don't know how to... Yep. Flushed from the bathroom of your heart.
Ooh.
Fell in a hole and I'm gonna keep on digging. Or I broke my rearview mirror. Open bracket. Now my past is filled with bad luck.
That is deep.
I know, yeah, that makes you think.
Yeah, it does.
It really does. Which novelty songs famously do. So.
All right, what are you thinking? Dave, you still... I mean, your tactic of hiding until second hasn't helped you.
Okay, maybe I'll go first. You reckon strike while the iron
is hot. Jump in.
What's the first one again?
First one is, you shot me dead, but I'm still loving you from heaven.
Okay.
Then you've got, I got no hands, how do you think I feel? Okay. Flushed from the bathroom of your heart. Fell in a hole and I'm going to keep on digging. Or I broke my rearview mirror. Now my past is filled with bad luck.
Okay. Okay. Whew, this is tricky. Every time I feel like I'm on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and the most fucked answers have just come up on the screen. Okay.
I'm Chris Tarrant, living my dream up here.
Okay.
Is he still alive?
Yeah. It's Jeremy Clarkson now, though.
Is he still alive?
Sadly. Unfortunately, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, the UK's turned on their prince. Nah, good on him. And good on you.
All right, Matt, I think I'm going to go with Flush from the Bathroom of My Heart.
All right, locking in Flush from the Bathroom of Your Heart for Dave.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Jim? I was going to call you Jim. Is that okay?
You can call me Jim, yeah.
What do you like? What do you think, Jim?
Do you go by Jim?
All right, yeah, Jim's all right. Yeah, I'll go with that, yeah.
Getting very comfortable around you, Jim.
I reckon fell in a hole and I'm going to keep on digging.
All right, locking that in for James. Sorry, Jim. Let's go through who wrote these answers. You shot me dead, but I'm still loving you from heaven. That was written by The House.
That's a good name.
With the help of Jim, the question writer, you're going to boo him as well? You dogs. You wannies.
No. That's the wrong word. I've mistranslated it. I can't let it go on. It's wannies a crab, guys. Inu's a dog. Come on, everyone knows that. People are calling you crab.
Mm. Yeah, great. Love that. Because my claws.
Why is the claws?
Pardon?
What is the claws? Yeah. You're not nice to people.
Yeah, I'm terrible. I'm a bad guy. Continue.
I broke my rearview mirror. Now my past is filled with bad luck. That was also written by the house.
That made us feel.
I wrote that one this morning, looking at a mirror. And I thought, this is actually pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
But I did sort of ideally a Joe Counts would fit. Yeah, anyway, I sort of ideally it would have been written differently, but I think there's something there. Look out for that being a tweet from me in future weeks. That's how highly rated I think it is.
Yeah.
2 weeks of nurturing the tweet.
Yeah. You think it's good enough for a tweet?
I'm going to workshop that until it's ready to tweet.
Wow.
We're all part of the process.
Yeah, by the time you're ready, Twitter will not exist anymore.
I don't know. I've been on there a bit lately. It is flourishing. Yeah. My man's in charge now.
What are you going out with Elon Musk?
Yeah. What are we doing? I've got no hands. How do you think I feel? That was James.
Ooh.
Fantastic work. Did I hit that right? Did I read that out right?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
I love that.
It's coverable song. You just sing it in your own way.
Yeah.
We all clapped for that. It was very good.
Yeah. Yes. It's very good.
I mean, anyone affected by the issues clap. There is, they're not going to be clapping, are they?
No, that's actually quite cruel. Okay. Yeah. That is the cruelest way to respond.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I could clap, but I've got whanny hands.
It's a bloody crocodile, actually. I've misled you again.
No,
it's a crocodile.
No.
At some point, I'm going to get the right answer for that, for my own quiz.
Fell in a hole, and I'm going to keep on digging, which James went for. That was Dave's. Dave's on the board.
Yes, I did it. I did it.
With my heart.
That's right.
In fact, Dave has double points because he also got it correct. It's flush from the bathroom of your heart.
Feels so good.
The dog is back. You're now like a mid-level dog.
Yeah.
Actually, no, you're still the underdog.
Yeah. By one?
Yeah, we'll check that score in a second with Holly. But before we get to that, here is question number 5. This one comes from Siraj Pieris from Melbourne. Are you in tonight, Siraj?
Maybe not.
He is in. I know he's in.
Siraj.
Hi, Siraj.
We know you're in. We came fourth with you in a pub quiz last night, so.
We've heard all about it.
Here is Siraj's question. Which of these is a real species of antelope? So you've just got to come up with a fake name for an antelope species. Holly, do you want to give us a score update first?
Yeah. So there's only 1 point in it now.
Ooh.
We have Dave coming up in second place with 2 points.
Thank you.
They liked you more when you sucked.
I know, that's right. I'm risking being too good at this now.
And James and the house are still tied on 3.
Ooh. This is anyone's game. Jeez, they got a good one in Bristol tonight.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you want to read out this info here, Holly? About Archie Campbell?
Yeah.
It's dull again,
two
I'm
sex.
Just remembering.
Oh.
I'll start reading out. You let me know when you want to take over. This
All
is
right.
According to Wikipedia. Archie Campbell was an American comedian, writer, and star of Hee Haw, a country flavored network television variety show. He was also a recording artist with several hits for RCA Victor in the 1960s. One of Campbell's best known routines was known as "That's Bad, That's Good." Now I'm gonna explain it to you without any of his jokes. Campbell would state a troublesome occurrence when the partner would sympathise by saying, "Oh, that's bad." Campbell would quickly counter, "No, that's good." And then state a good result from the previous occurrence. When the partner would say, "Oh, that's good," Campbell would immediately counter with, "No, that's bad." And tell the new result and so on. I listened to a routine of that earlier today and I went for 3 minutes. It was great. All right, looks like the answers are in. Question number 5. Which of these is a real species of antelope? The submissive bean.
Okay. I can't give a straight face. That's ridiculous.
And then the next.
Kirk's dick dick.
Kirk's
dick dick. Mm-hmm. The long-faced Jeffrey. Nile wet mouth. Or Anton Decalope.
Ooh. These are the best answers. Sorry.
Do you know what antelope is in Japanese?
Ooh,
I do not ask me. I mean, I've covered myself in shame already.
Yeah, okay.
Do you speak Japanese?
Evidently not.
You thought you'd just have a crack.
Yeah, just guess. It's definitely a crocodile or water monster.
But it's definitely not an antelope.
No, yeah, definitely not an antelope. I think I've got an idea. No, it's not an antelope. Is it an antelope?
Yeah. What?
I thought it was an anteater.
It's an antelope.
Might have given away my answer there.
You reckon one of those five is clearly an anteater?
Yeah.
I'm going through my mind. Which one is it?
Do you need to hear them again before you lock
no,
something
I'm
in?
Going for the dick.
Going
for
the dick. Kirk's dick dick?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
Locking
yeah.
that in for James. Kirk's Dave, what are you thinking?
Long face Jeffrey or Nile wet mouth? First Jeffrey, Nile wet mouth. I'm going to go with long face Jeffrey.
Long face Jeffrey, no worries. You two haven't gone for the same one all night.
Oh, okay. Should I start doing that?
I mean, James has got most of them right, but you do you. All right, so here is who wrote the answers. The submissive bean, which they loved. That was Dave.
That was
Dave.
Yeah. Thank you.
I get it. But just in case any listeners at home don't, what's that about?
Don't make me explain jokes like Wikipedia just explained. You were reading out that guy's routine. It sounded like someone reading out instructions for a board game. And then he says, and then the other guy says. I won't let you do that to my art.
Okay. That's fair enough. But I loved it as much as they did, and I get it anyway. The Nile Wet Mouth, that was written by Siraj / The House.
Oh, well done.
Nice,
that really made
nice.
Me laugh.
That made me laugh a lot.
Nile
yeah.
Wet Mouth.
The Anton Decalope, also The House.
Ooh. Okay, we're on the money a bit here.
The Long Face Jeffrey, that was James.
Oh, you betrayed me.
Yeah. You betrayed an anteater.
Antelopes have long faces.
Not as long as an anteater.
Yeah, all right, I didn't know it was a competition.
Antelopes just have to reach the grass. Anteaters need to reach the ants.
Yeah, okay.
It's lower. Science. Yeah. Sorry, guys, it's science.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you lost me.
That means that Kirk's dick dick is correct, meaning James gets 2 points.
Well done, well done.
Maximum points. So we're down to the last two questions now. This one comes from Eva Redmond from Tasmania. What strange occurrence happened in December 1457 in Savigny in France? Say that right, Savigny?
If no one's correcting me,
I'll... Yeah. Happy with that?
Yeah.
What strange occurrence happened in December 1457 in Savigny in France? And while you're writing those answers, here's some more info on the dick dicks. Dick dicks are some of the world's smallest antelopes, with the largest, the Kirk's dick dick, standing between 14 and 18 inches tall and weighing no more than 7.2 kilos. They're freaking adorable. You really got to check them out. Honestly, they look like cartoons.
So what do we Google? Dick.
Yeah.
Times two.
Dick, dick, yeah.
Yeah.
That should come up, yeah.
They're so cute.
Yeah. Do you want, for the listeners at home? Holly's trying to show James, and James is not looking. Do you want to explain to the listeners at home what you can see?
So it actually looks like a little. It's really cute. It's like a tiny little
antelope.
Antelope. It's one of the leaves like a rabbit. It's really cute. Is it not really cute? It looks like it's smiling.
Yeah, that's cute.
It's really cute.
According to question writer Siraj, they play chicken to resolve territorial conflicts. Males charge one another, stopping just short of physical contact before repeating the process by running from a longer distance. Furthermore, the encounter ends when one male surrenders, which results in both males scratching at the ground, urinating and defecating. So one of it, like, they know that they're never going to hit, but one of them eventually goes, whoa, that was too much chicken for me. The Dick Dick's name is derived from the sound they make when they feel threatened. They lie low and hide from predators, but if they're caught, they run off in a zigzag-like pattern until they are safe. While they run, they make a trumpet-like zick-zick, dick-dick sort of
sound. They're very, very trumpet-like.
Could you do a trumpet like dick dick sound?
No.
I think actually, if you can't, I reckon Holly can.
Yeah.
Holly was telling us earlier tonight, very musical person, grew up in choirs and that sort of stuff. So I think Holly could quite easily do a zig zig dick dick sort of trumpet sound. She's for those listening at home, she's warming up the throat. She's taking her jacket off.
Tick, tick.
She's just doing her classic warm-up technique, which is laughing and saying dick, dick.
Tick, tick. How do you do a trumpet sound?
We asked the...
That sounds like pretty good. Yeah. That sounded good.
Pretty good.
Thank you.
That's it. That is it. Jeez, it was almost like there was... a little dick dick in trouble in this very room. Zigzagging away. What a great
way to protect
yourself.
That's what I do when I run away.
Yeah. Hey, come catch me. Like a lion or whatever, just going, ugh. Zigzag. Here's question number 6. Second last question. What strange occurrence happened in December 1457 in Savigny in France? Here are your 5 options. A new wine variety was accidentally discovered when 2 crops of bad grapes were disposed into a large wooden bin and forgotten about.
Bin juice.
A man was killed by lightning, and at his funeral, his coffin was struck again. The town decided to burn the body, just to be safe. Option 3, 2 Christmases.
Okay.
Option 4, a sow and her piglets were arrested for murder. Or finally, half the population fell into a hole and couldn't get out.
Were they listening to that song?
Yeah. I'm going to keep on digging.
So you got the new wine variety, accidentally discovered. You got the lightning man. You got 2 Christmases. Fuck, that sounds good. You've got... a sow and her 6 piglets arrested for murder, or half of the population fell into a hole and couldn't get out. All right, who wants to go first?
I'm ready to lock myself
okay,
in.
Okay, what do you want to lock
there's
in
those
here?
criminal pigs.
Yep.
They would.
All right, lock
particularly
in.
Particularly in December.
Well, that's when they're at their hungriest.
It's when they're kicking off. They don't want to be put in a blanket.
Yes. Because a pig's blanket is pig skin. It's more pig.
So it's the pig in a blanket. Yeah. It's all pig.
Yeah. I can see why that would be very triggering.
Yeah, it could be like a friend's skin or something, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
You just put a human face on that pig. You monster.
What is it? Is that a food?
Pigs in blankets.
Yeah. Mm.
It's a sausage wrapped in bacon.
In England.
Is that not a thing?
In America, it's just a sausage roll, I think.
What's it in Australia?
I've heard of a hot dog in a pancake.
It's a bit much.
Not for us.
A bit barbaric.
Yeah.
That was a joke for the English crowd.
Yeah, right. So bacon wrapped around
a sausage.
Oh, it's great.
Part of a Christmas dinner. It's like quintessential.
It's the best. They're small sausages.
Yeah, little mini ones.
How big's the bacon?
Massive.
It's like streaky bacon.
Okay.
I really hope no pigs are in tonight.
Because we're going to get murdered.
Yeah. So James is locked in the pig murder. Dave, what are you thinking?
Oh, what was number two?
Number two was a man was killed by lightning and at
his
funeral.
Number three, sorry?
Two Christmases.
Oh. Or is it the...
Think of the pigs.
You think I should lock in pigs? Is that what you're telling me?
No, think of the pigs at two Christmases.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. So many pigs died that year.
Oh, my God. So it's either pigs are killing or being killed, I guess.
Yeah. Or number five?
Number five, half the population fell into a hole.
Yeah.
Kept on
digging. I mean, they could have earthquakes or something over there.
Yeah. It would be a weird way to write that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm picking up what you're putting down there. I'm going to go for the wine.
Going for the wine.
That feels like a French thing.
Yeah, ever so French.
Yeah.
Way.
All right.
Yeah, I speak French as well.
Oh, my God. You're a master linguist.
Does anyone know what's French for dog?
Chien.
Chien.
What sound does a dog make in France? Turns out I didn't know that either. All right.
They're a waff. That's fun.
A laugh. A laugh.
That's fantastic. All right, let's go through who wrote the answers. Half the population fell into a hole. That was the house.
Okay,
two Christmases. That was James. Just writing my dreams, James. Man killed by lightning and struck again. That was Dave.
Yep. I thought I could tempt you with that one.
I was very tempted.
I really thought. Yeah. You didn't even mention it, mate.
Being polite.
Didn't even come into your mind for a second. Damn it. God, you're good.
A new wine variety accidentally discovered. That was the house.
Oh.
So poorly written. Cannot believe you. I'm reading it back. I'm like, this sucks. But
yeah, right. But it felt like the most dull one.
Yeah.
So it felt believable.
Okay. Well, double bluff, Jar.
Yeah.
I don't understand what that means. meaning James was correct. A sow and her six piglets were arrested for murder.
Tried and convicted.
So that is 1 point for James, 1 point for the house. We're up to the final question. We'll get a score update when Dave and James are writing this final answer. The question is, or it comes from Brian Nichols from Melbourne. I'm not even going to ask. The question is, what is the synopsis of the 2006 film Joe's Apartment? What is the synopsis of the 2006 film Joe's Apartment? Holly, do you want to give us a score update?
So, we have Dave still on 2 points.
Hey, on the board.
Thank you.
We have the house on 4. And James steaming ahead on 6. We could have a non-house winner.
Yeah, so it's when I say it's anyone's game here, that's not quite true, but James and the house are still in it.
Triple points.
Oh, unless Dave wants to ask for triple points, it could happen.
Yes.
I'm going to pull out the card and say triple points.
All right. Triple points are on the table.
Getting serious.
So that means, James, that it's pretty self-explanatory. Every point's now worth 3 points.
Does it triple the points I already got?
No, just the points you can get from now. So it's quite unfair for you, really. And if Dave does come from behind...
as is my preference.
if he does, it would be a victory with a real asterisk, I think. So while they're writing their answers, here is some more information about the pigs who got arrested from historytoday.com. In December 1457, a sow and her six piglets were arrested in Savigny for murder. Together with their owner, Jehan Bailey, they were dragged off to jail, and 1 month later, they were put on a trial before the local judge. According to the court records, three lawyers were present, two for the prosecution and one perhaps for the pig's defence. Which is already unfair.
Yeah. Were they all human?
I think they were all human lawyers. Yeah.
One might
well, you know, as much as a lawyer could be.
Oh, snakes, aren't they snakes?
9 witnesses were called by name, in addition to several others whose identities have been lost. Based on their testimony, the judge decided that while Bailey should have kept a much more careful eye on his animals, responsibility for the murder lay squarely with the pigs. The sow had clearly been the ringleader. After consulting with experts in local customary law, the judge solemnly sentenced her to death, stipulating that she should be hanged from a tree by her hind legs. It's wild that the crowd that was just loving bacon wrapped in sausages is now seeing this as barbaric.
Yeah, remember when you said they're the best?
This is how it happens. Well, maybe not precisely how it happens, but basically. The piglets were a different matter, though. Since there was no direct evidence that they had participated in the murder, the judge decided to let them off on the promise of good behaviour.
Good pig behaviour.
It's a full-on and surreal episode from history, but it was far from unique. Animal trials were a remarkably common feature of medieval and modern justice, especially in France. Although exact numbers are hard to come by, more than 100 cases are known to have taken place between the 10th and 18th centuries, all involving all manner of creatures and crimes.
Can I say the last bit?
Yeah, please.
Mules were charged with sodomy. Rats and locusts with the destruction of crops. I quit.
You came in hot. I loved it.
Oh, I'm so excited.
You were so excited about mule sodomy in the crowd. The crowd did not back you up.
Dick, dick.
In the ass.
Cockerels with laying eggs in defiance of their nature, and dogs with theft. But pigs were by far the most common criminals, and in almost every case, they were accused of murder.
They're meant to be quite smart animals. So killing humans, I don't know.
Well, they're meant to be like as smart as a 4-year-old. That's really scary.
Now that makes you think. All right, here is the final question. What is the synopsis of the 2006 film Joe's Apartment? Remembering, there's triple points at stake here. If you both pick a house answer, house wins.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Sorry, James.
House. The house.
Damn, dastardly house.
Here are your 5 options.
Joe's Apartment.
Straight to DVD sequel of the gorilla feature Mighty Joe Young. Joe moves to the big city and works at the local Dunkin' Donuts. Joe wakes up in a dystopian future to find that his apartment is a tiny pod, barely big enough to fit in a bed. After realizing it's the day of his wedding, he needs to figure out what's going on, how he got there, and how to cater for 300 guests in such a small apartment.
Oh, Joe.
When a man relocates to New York and is short on cash, he moves into a rundown, low-rent apartment, which is infested with singing, dancing, and partying cockroaches, who soon become Joe's best friends.
Oh.
Uptight Joe inherits his grandparents' luxurious Manhattan apartment, and things are going great until he finds out he has a housemate, the ghost of his grandfather. Ooh. Things get weird and wacky from there, but in time, Joe learns how to let loose and party, grandpa style.
Oh, Joe's grandpa.
Or finally, a 68-year-old man hasn't left his apartment in 28 years. He decides to leave and immediately falls into a hole.
Oh, is this one of them French films?
Yeah. And he just kept on digging.
All right, Dave, do you want to Do you want to have first dibs here?
Okay, quick recap.
So you got the Mighty Joe Young straight to DVD sequel. You've got the dystopian future with the wedding in a small pod. You've got a man who becomes friends with cockroaches.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the uptight guy who learns to party from his ghost grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
Or you've got one of these is real. Or you've got. Oh, you've got a 68-year-old man who fell into a hole.
Okay. I'm tempted by the hole. But I'm going to go with cockroaches.
Cockroaches.
And it's musical.
Yeah, the cockroaches do sing.
Okay.
Singing and dancing.
Great.
All right, locking that partying. In for Dave.
And partying. Grandpa style.
What do you
think? Cockroach
style. Yeah, cockroach style.
I think the cockroaches, yeah.
Oh, both going in the cockroaches.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A strategic move there, James.
Yeah, but if this was written by the house.
Yeah. The house would get a lot of points.
6 points.
Yeah.
The house would get 6 points. Do you want to do this?
Does it mean Dave doesn't win?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
I'm pretty sure it's impossible for me to win.
Okay.
With that move. You bastard.
That feels right, though.
Yeah, totally.
All right.
No, you've done really well.
Thank you. Thank you. You never know that I've been on this show more than anyone in the world.
Have you ever won?
Maybe once.
Yeah, you have. You've won.
Yeah.
You won.
Good job,
in
buddy.
Brisbane.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, I won. And I'm pretty sure they were taking pity on me again, so.
All right, here's who wrote the answers. The straight-to-DVD sequel for Mighty Joe Young, that was written by James.
Oh, it's good. It's good. I wanted to watch it.
I'd watch it because of the gorilla and donuts. That's just lovely image. Lovely image. Beautiful cinematography.
The dystopian future wedding, that was the house.
Ooh. 300 guests.
The 68-year-old man who fell into a hole, that was Dave.
Guilty.
Yeah.
The partying grandpa, that was also the house.
Oh!
Meaning the correct answer is the singing dancing cockroaches.
Yeah! So,
We did it,
but you more importantly did it.
I did it.
So, Holly, that means 3 points to Dave, 3 points to James. While you're tallying up the scores... Which I assume could take some time.
Yeah, it takes ages.
I'll just tell you briefly. Rotten Tomatoes gave Joe's Apartment a critical consensus of 19%.
Out of
the full 100.
Oh, God. Damn.
One of the brief review clips comes from Andy Seller, writing for USA Today. He wrote a scathing review, and one of the sentences I like to pull out was... So much up-to-the-minute technology hasn't been used for such a disastrous product since the Hindenburg.
I've actually seen it.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
And is it good?
I would have rather have fallen in a hole. Awful.
That's
film.
So good. All right, Holly, do you want to give us a final score check?
So there is a twist.
Ooh.
In last place.
Don't tell me.
On 4 points.
What?
Is the house.
Yeah!
In your face.
Yes. Cop it.
With 5, we have Dave.
Thank you.
What an absolute whammy.
And with a solid 9 points, we have James.
Yeah!
Well done, James.
Thanks very much.
Jeez, you just seem like you know things.
Yeah, you dominate. I think, did you get everyone except one correct? Well done.
Yeah,
I think I did, actually. Yeah, I am great, actually.
James, do you want to let people know where they can find you? In terms of on your podcast?
It's Loremen, Loremen podcast, and it is a podcast about obscure history and myths and legends and things like court cases for animals and cockroach-based films.
And Dave and I were on a recent episode.
Yes, yeah. Well, I gave you a little whistle-stop tour of the UK ahead of your whistle-stop tour of the UK.
It was so good. Yeah. Where was the place? What's Bristol? Is that the one with the fish?
No, that was Glasgow was the...
I was paying attention.
The fish with the ring.
Is this the one with the pigs? Who settled the cathedral?
I think that was Glasgow as well. It's mostly Glasgow-based episode, if I'm honest.
I remember nothing happened in Birmingham.
Is this the one with the hole? Someone had a hole?
That was Manchester, yep. Yeah.
You're getting closer.
All right, well, if people want to find out, they can listen, I guess.
We have done episodes on Bristol. We did one about... There's the pub from Treasure Island, which has got a door made of skin.
It's a very funny podcast.
Yeah, wow.
And Holly, your podcast?
It's Pointless Reinvention. It's great.
Yeah.
I'm on Twitter. I'm HOLLEHME. It's Hollamy on Twitter. I'm massively into F1. If anyone wants to talk about F1 with me, that'd be great.
And Dave, where can people find you?
They can find me on the Book Cheat or Do Go On podcasts.
Thank you. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. As we are a new show, it'd be great if you could help get the word out there. Please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends if you think you know someone who might enjoy it. Thanks so much for joining us, you three, and see you all next week, you dick dicks.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.